Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The Astrology Hour can be heard weekdays from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and Tuesday's special expanded edition from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. The Astrology Hour is a public-supported radio show produced by Leo Scorpio Productions. I'm Farley Malaris. And now, The Astrology Hour on KFOX. Oh, I'm having a wonderful time today. Before the show, I went up to Terry and Marilyn, the girls in the office, and I said, what's the topic, girls? They said, Farley, why don't you talk about why everyone's having a problem this month? Hey, I'm not having any problems. I'm going on Aero Peru. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going anywhere, but at least I'm having a good time. Come on. Time to get those. If you want some general comments today, general question calls, you're going to have to be the one to make the call right now to KFOX and beat out those forecasters. We're going to start having Astrology Hour competition. General comment people versus forecasters. What you got to do is think of your general questions before the show, then call at 2 minutes to 12 and grab the lines. Capitalize those lines. But we love the forecasters, don't we? That midheaven sun at 12 noon. God, we had a great time last night. Let me tell you, that was a hell of a party. There was about 500 people there at the Holiday Inn. The Astrology Hour Club was in strong force last night. And I want to thank you all for coming. I know that everybody that went had a special treat, and I'm very excited about that. Okay, I feel silly today for some reason, but I'm still having a good time. Today's topic is a very, very interesting topic, karma, trauma, and rebirth. First of all, a lot of you go through these long, hard transits. One thing I like about astrology is no matter how hard of a transit you're going through, let's say you are going through a transit that some people would say would be difficult, like Pluto square your Mars, where nothing seems to work with men in your life, or Saturn oppose your Venus, where your money seems to be draining and all the bills are cropping up, or Uranus square your Moon, where you're having emotional problems. And like I'm having Saturn oppose Uranus, Saturn oppose Venus, Uranus oppose Uranus, Uranus oppose Venus, Neptune square Neptune. I'm having some pretty dazzling, dandy transits that definitely could hold me down and make me feel weak or meek. If you were at the party yesterday, you know I'm feeling great. Because I'm telling you, people were suggesting I become a stand-up comic after that. One of the funniest lectures I've ever given. I wish I recorded that. But anyway, so even though you have what is called the chart on fire, right, and even though you have what I call 2 to 4 hard transits going on, squares or oppositions, or conjunctions that might trigger squares and oppositions, there 99% of the time, there's always going to be another transit in your chart that'll counter it. And 9 times out of 10, that transit will be coming from the quicker moving celestial bodies, like the Moon, like Mercury, like Venus, and like Mars. For example, Venus in Aries at 19 is exactly trine my Jupiter today, and grand trine my Sun, Mercury, Pluto, and Saturn in Leo. So even though I'm having all that pressure, I can still find one planet that'll set up 3 or 4 grand trines in my chart and make me feel wonderful and happy and goofy and funny and silly. And hence, that's why I guess I came off so well yesterday, and maybe today too. So the thing is that astrology is a tool that is to be used to help us identify our current state of obsession. And in my opinion, obsession is the easiest way to identify karma. Because basically what karma is, a gestalt vibration that goes on that basically dictates that if you do things bad, negative, selfish, evil, greedy, or hurtful to yourself or anything in this dimension or anybody, then that force will return to you in the negative sense, in a hurtful, bad, greedy, sometimes compounded, and that's where you get in trouble. But if you do something good, positive, which is called dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A, then the dharmic effect will, what we call, absolve or remove some of the karma that you might have accumulated from past lives or this lifetime. And, you know, actually, karma is like a debit and credit, like in accounting, where if you work up enough debits, enough good deeds, and you're not selfish and you're not obsessive, then your karma will be reduced and sometimes removed. Now, rumor has it, metaphysically, that the only people that incarnate into this dimension, the majority of us, are karma-ridden, which means we have a debt and we have an obsession, and hence that's why we are pulled to this dimension, and that's why we qualify to live here, to stay here, to remain here, is to go to school and learn about these laws of karma. And I believe this to be true. Also, rumor has it that there are some people that come back here that are karma-free. And you might call these people masters or people that are highly evolved that can appeal to the masses and do a great deal of good for thousands of people and help them. Well, sometimes your soul is so tainted with credit karma, with negative vibration, that your mission in life is to rise up to become a master and a great philosopher to turn some of this negativity around, to light some lights within people. So sometimes your most highly evolved people and presidents and kings and leaders and religious philosophers and such are those that have the biggest karmic debt to pay. You know, example, Jimmy Baker and Jimmy Swaggart. You got to believe that all these evangelists are human. I mean, do you think that Jerry Falwell or Oral Roberts is Jesus Christ? You know, I'm sure that they might have slipped up once in a while. Temptation is everywhere, and obsession is everywhere. And most of us, because we are human and we do have karma, we do have a grain of this obsession. Now, what happens in life, in the process of karmic evolution, evolution of the soul, working off your karma, absolving it, and being more dharmic, learning how to do things for others, and learning how to reach out and help people and shed light on them, will actually bring the light back to you. And that's when you start feeling better with your life and things start happening for you. People that fall into ruts, people that have these stupid career and relationship ruts, are people that want them too much. Really. If you want to have relationships and career, then stop being so obsessed with it. It's like telling someone, you can't have your marijuana, you can't have your cocaine, you can't have your coffee. You can't have this career you want. Because people think that the only way to get something is to be so obsessed and so fanatically involved in it that that's the way to get it. In my opinion, I find that forcing the bolt into the hole a lot of times is not going to make it. You have to easily nudge that bolt in, because sometimes trying to force it is not going to make it. And that's the way I have found life to work for me. Now, I'll tell you what happens to people. People that are accumulating negative karma by being obsessed and by being selfish and greedy and evil and manipulative and lying and cheating and all this stuff, conning people and stuff, they are accumulating a lot of karma. Now, when you get to a point that you really go overboard in your karmic accumulations, where supposedly your loan to the karmic bank is past due, and you haven't done as much good that you should do, where it all seems to be me, 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 you know, and never you, 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 or the world, 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 right? Then you get to a point that the karma can overload, and instead of just having emotional and mental pain, which are the symptoms of basic karmic obsession, then it overloads to physical pain. And this is where we make ourselves sick. This is where the health becomes affected. People, I hate to say this, but those people sometimes, in my opinion, from what I have seen, people with any kind of health problem at all, like let's say even if you get the cold or a flu, we talked about burnout and exchanging light and sometimes depleting yourself of light and not recharging yourself. And that's when you leave yourself vulnerable to something like a cold or a virus or a flu or an infection. But then there's those people out there that get so depressed and so miserable and so obsessed because they can't have or they can't get what they want, and they don't realize it. You know, they sit there and they don't realize that their own obsessions are what's killing them. It's like the guy that needs to have sex with 100 partners or needs to have that inner Venus needle. The karma builds up. What happens? He manifests AIDS. Or the person out there that decides she wants to keep not protecting herself, getting pregnant, getting pregnant, getting pregnant, 5, 6, 7 abortions, and then boom, all of a sudden she needs a hysterectomy. And she wonders, why me? Then there's the corporate executive that knocks himself out 50, 60, 70 hours a week, slave drive the employees, cut back on their wages, raise the prices of your clients, raise the prices of your customers, save money, save money, save money, never reach out, do anything for anybody, boom, heart attack, bypass surgery. Then there's people out there say, well, why would a guy like Jerry Lewis, who does these telethons of muscular dystrophy, he does so much good for so many people. Hey, there's a lot of questions out there as to exactly where that money is being appropriated for all those telethons. Is the money really getting to the Muscular Dystrophy Association? And maybe only Jerry Lewis himself knows the truth. And that type of stuff could bother somebody if you know somebody else is making money off of what appears to be a charitable cause. And this is an editorial comment. I'm not trying to put Jerry Lewis down. I love the guy. But he, of course, also had a heart attack and bypass surgery. And a lot of times you wonder why certain people that appear to be saintly or godly should be stricken with such a fatal disease. A lot of times it could be a karma, what I call a karma flashback from a past life, where suddenly you're confronted with the major obsession of many, many lifetimes. You don't know how to handle it. You either pass the buck or do something where you don't absolve it, and boom, it blows up in your face in the form of a heart attack or whatever. You know, like Larry King, here's a guy obsessed with working, work, 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 radio, TV, and now he's even knocking himself out now, even though he's already had one heart attack. And my competitor, you know, Michael Jackson, there's another guy had a heart attack on talk radio. I do 1 hour a day, maybe 2 hours on Tuesday, which is enough for me because I'm not obsessed with my career and I'm not obsessed with my job. I just let it happen. Let nature take its course. People come up to me and say, Farley, we want you to do this gig or that gig or this gig. And I turn a lot of things down. If I don't feel right for it, if I don't feel there's enough emotional and spiritual time I can invest, if I have symptoms in my body that tell me, hey, you're burning out, you need to recharge that light, you need to be more spiritual, pray more, meditate more, chant more. Sometimes the third dimension is not the only way to go. So what happens is you create a physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual trauma that can throw you into a major pain state that can last for many weeks or months, even years, or could even end your life too. In the next segment, we're going to talk about some of the ramifications behind these traumas if you do survive them and don't die and go into the light and set up another reincarnational system where hopefully you'll learn this time. We're going to talk about rebirth, the option for rebirth. A lot of people are spiritual and metaphysical and astrological because they've gone through traumas like me. I had a perforated duodenal ulcer, and my doctor, my nice Jewish doctor, was telling me I may need surgery. I could die from this if I keep worrying and stuff. Talk about being negative, right? And it took me 6 months to go through all kinds of therapy and all kinds of seeking of help. And finally, I found my answer through meditation, astrological revelations that explained to me why I had this stress and this stomach problem, and also metaphysics and chanting. So, you know, this is what worked for me. And that's what happens. You know, this topic is all about people accumulating karma, not absolving it, finally reaching the level of trauma through disease or through accident or through some kind of major pain state, and then being given the choice. Because a lot of people, when they go through trauma, they either see the light in their meditations or in their prayers or in their dreams, and they come out, and suddenly a person who would be pre-cancer surgery, who would never believe in astrology, might come out of it and then suddenly tune into the show and go, hey, I finally want to get my chart. Of course, when some people rebirth into the light and their awareness level lifts, it's like something shifts in your mind and your heart and your body, then they decide, well, it's time to go beyond the sun sign. I believe this astrology works, and I'm going to go ahead and get into it. My name is Farley Malaris, in case you just tuned in. This is Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, the very elite listening audience, people very highly evolved into scientific aspects that a lot of people respect of astrology, because I do respect astrology as a science. We are an astronomy-based science that interprets human behavior by analyzing the movement of the planets. And we're talking about karma, trauma, and rebirth today. And like I say, if you don't absolve your karma, and if you are on some kind of obsessed quest to conquer the world and this empire without helping anyone in so doing, in fact, leaving a wake of victims in what you do, then you can build up too much karma, and that's when you fall into the trauma state. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, there will be exceptions where people will have these traumas, like these bad accidents or bad surgeries or bad diseases, and they're basically good people. So a lot of times this stuff will come from some kind of payback from a past life. But still, I do believe that if people are more dharmic in their behavior, if they do more deeds for the world and for other people, and if they learn how to recharge their light, that they can protect their health that much more, no matter how old they are. At least it works for me. I've stayed out of the hospital, knock wood, best I can, 39 years old, so I keep trying. And being holistic also helps too, getting into some of these herbal remedies and some of these holistic approaches and healing approaches to life are along those lines with protecting yourself. I kind of see two places as being the places that I consider severe punishment for people that have reached a karmic overload. Because, you know, there's people that go through their little pain, their drug addictions, and their alcoholism, and they destroy themselves the best way they can in society. But if you get to a point where you actually abuse people, rape them, even mentally or emotionally, or kill someone, or be involved with someone else dying because of your actions, your choices, right? Ah, then you cross the line at the Alamo again, right? And then you open up a whole new dimension of karmic experience that can either be identified as prison, jail, or the hospital. And these are two areas that most people don't like to think about and that most people don't like to ever assume they could ever get there, because frankly, you'll probably get to the hospital first before you get to prison, and then vice versa. I understand we do have some prisoners listening to the show, as a matter of fact. Once you get to a prison or hospital, which I don't feel is an accident, unless you're wrongly accused, in that case, it may be once again another past life effect. But it's very important to play counselor and to play host to people in those areas and still try to help others, even though you're in the hospital or the prison, because it's never too late to be dharmic with people and to try to help them. A lot of people go to prison and then they get out of prison and they come back to prison. They get out of prison, they come back. A lot of people go to the hospital and they get out of the hospital and they go back to the hospital. Well, obviously they're doing something wrong. Something in their behavioral patterns, something in their life's routine, something in their choices and values, something in their conditioning as to what they think is important in life is distorted. It's tainted. There's something wrong. So if you're the type of person that keeps getting busted or arrested or going back and forth to prison or back and forth to the hospital, obviously you should check your obsessions. And you should check your karma in your natal chart and beyond your natal chart to see if you are someone that can set themselves up and not work off this karma and not be dharmic about it. Because actually helping other people is absolutely essential to absolving karma and to being selfless and to being spiritual, which are major priorities as far as I'm concerned, as a bottom line, as a foundation to mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical health. That's right. It's being able to meditate and pray and chant, recharge your own light, recharge your own beacon, and then share it with others instead of abusing this dimension and abusing the residents that live within. And I hope that makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you something. I got this topic. I got actually the three words, karma, trauma, and rebirth, about 60 seconds before I went on the air. I just wrote the title on the cassette. I had no idea what the topic was going to be today, but I'm really glad that we covered this topic because I think it's very important. And I think it's important that people check their obsessions. Do you know that a lot of people that call this show, for example, they have the choice. Do you know that every person that calls this show has a choice of either being obsessed with their own selfish question about their own life, right? Which could be important because they might be in trouble and need help from Uncle Farley. Or to be dharmic, to use this show and the phone lines in the show as a dharma and to ask the question that an answer could be made that hundreds or thousands of people can benefit. Did you know that the Astrology Hour actually is a vehicle for dharma, where open-mindedness and the search for further truth and the search for love and kindness and charity and hope and faith and resolution of problems in the world. And yet people know that the lines are open at 2 minutes to 12. And people, maybe they're not aware that they can work some karma off and share something dharma. If you have a question about life or society, then it's probably that a whole lot of people out there have the same question. And you know, we did a show last Monday and we're going to do it again. I want you to be ready on Monday with your questions. But I'm like saying that the Astrology Hour should be a program that should transform by the people's choice. We all learn how to understand astrology and read charts from the people that call for forecasts. It's true. But just remember, every time somebody calls for a personal problem, it must be really important because they are blowing the opportunity in every 2 week call, if they're a member, right? To offer a question or an answer or a comment from the universe that could dharmically affect and help thousands of people and give them a revelation that could help turn their whole life around. That's really the magic behind what the vehicle of the Astrology Hour is all about. Now I've gone ahead and made everyone feel guilty on the phone. Even Becky already hung up already. So let's go to the phones and let's have fun today just for fun. I'm not going to put anybody down if they have a personal forecast because I understand. I used to be like that too. But but let's just for fun see what people's choice is, whether they want to be karmic or dharmic today. Let's go to line one and talk to Jenny, who I met at the party last night, Scorpio, Leo rising. Hi.
Hi. I didn't enjoy the party. It was poorly organized.
You didn't enjoy it?
I enjoyed meeting you, but, you know, everything else was not organized properly.
Oh, okay. Well,
I hope in future your appearance will be better organized.
Well, this equinox thing is going to be a lot better, I think, because it's going to be at the Wilshire Ebel, and there's only going to be two speakers. James is going to channel Thomas, and I'm going to give my lecture for a full hour, which should be a lot of fun. And there's room for 400 or 500 people in that theater, so it should be a nice group.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
You get that number, 399-4942, for reservations March 20th.
Okay. I have a question. You know, my chart, it says Venus trine Uranus. What does that mean compared to today's my transit chart?
What do you mean, what does that mean compared to today's transit chart?
Venus trine Uranus says that my relationship must be very unusual. And
oh, you mean you're having a Venus trine Uranus.
Am I having a Venus trine Uranus?
Well, you were born November 4th, 1950?
Yeah.
Okay. Your transit says Venus in the sky is trine your Uranus? I don't think so.
It says your Venus is trine Uranus 0 degrees, 3 minutes. What does that mean?
Oh, no. Are you looking at your astroscope or your transit?
Planetary aspect.
Okay, you're looking at your astroscope. Turn your radio down, Jenny, because I can't hear you through it, okay? You're making it difficult for me here. Give me a break, okay? Venus trine Uranus is somebody that has a lot of love and a lot of spirit, extreme sensitivity, and has shown positive relationships with female friends and a real good ability to accomplish things in their life. Thank you for calling. Let's go over here to line two and talk to Melanie, a Sag, Cancer rising. Hello. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I've missed your program the last couple of weeks, and you've probably talked about this, but I was curious, what's the result of so many of the planets being in Capricorn right now?
What's the result?
Yeah, but, like, I know there's things going on, but...
When Uranus and Saturn are together, Saturn is a planet of karma, and Uranus is a planet of humanity. So I think a lot of truth is coming to the surface here. Karmically, if people lie, or if they cheat, or if they steal, you know, like the Jimmy Swaggart thing, that type of stuff comes to the surface, and Saturn and Uranus will be conjunct for many, many months. So it's a gradual process, and some of the revelations that will occur will come suddenly, but mostly we are finding that humanity is going through an adjustment in their values and the way they view life and the way they view organizations, and there's going to be a lot of adjustments in those areas. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let's go to Mark, a Capricorn Cancer rising. Hi.
Hey, Paulie, how you doing?
Good, guy.
Hey, it's I really have to say it's special what you do. It really is. It's great.
Well, thank you.
Quick question. It's actually going to be something that might be applicable to a lot of people. One is figuring out, you know, like a compatibility with a mate.
Uh-huh.
Something that we would be able to do on our own, you know, instead of having to, let's say, call you up. You know, we meet someone, really know their chart.
See, guy, you're learning about Dharma. You actually took a potentially selfish question and you turned it around so thousands of people could learn. I was thinking about this in the car today, so I knew you'd ask this question. I like to look at Venus and Mars. Well, there's three things. You're either going to get rising sign compatibility, number one, or you're going to have enough attention to another person's rising sign and vice versa that the relationship can make it.
Right.
Like, let's say one person's a Pisces rising, another person's a Libra rising. If the Pisces rising, let's say, has Venus and Aquarius trine the one person's Libra rising, that's great. Meanwhile, the Libra rising has a Scorpio moon trine the Pisces rising. Ah, so we find even though there's not the exact rising compatibility, like the same rising sign or similar element, as long as there's trines to each other's ascendant from Venus or Mars or the moon, that helps. Now also, we like it when one person has Venus trine another person's Mars. Like a woman's Venus in Aquarius trine a man's Mars in Libra, or a man's Venus in Pisces trine a woman's Mars in Cancer. Even with gay people's charts, Mars-Mars trines or Venus-Venus trines are good. The more, the merrier. Sometimes we find the most karmic relationships will be Venus squares, or Venus square Mars between two people, or Mars square Mars, or Venus square Venus, or too many squares on another person's ascendant.
Okay.
Now, does that help you?
A little bit. Real quick, let's say, okay, you know what mine is. Let's say she's a Libra, let's say Leo rising.
Yeah.
How would I be able to work that out, just real quick?
Well, you would have to have some Sag Aries to complement her Leo rising. She'd have to have some Pisces Scorpio to complement your Cancer rising. And where's her Venus and Mars at?
I don't know.
Well, you have to find that out. When you find out where her Venus, what's her birthday?
It's September 24th, 1960.
Okay, just for fun. Her Venus is 27 Libra. It's almost in Scorpio. It doesn't really affect your Venus or Mars at all. And her Mars is at 2 Cancer. It's opposition your Mars in Capricorn. Sometimes oppositions are okay because they're opposite, but not always.
Yeah.
So it could be karmic. Good luck.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go over here to Doug on line 5. Missed you at the party last night?
No, I couldn't make it. I'm so sorry.
Cancer, Leo, rising, a longtime member.
Absolutely. I have another compatibility question. Hopefully I can help other people out with it. Is I want to know the orb when you're doing synastry.
When you do synastry, I would think, now it's different with every astrologer. Like our compatibility programs, I actually give trines between two people up to 6 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and square 6 and opposition 6.
Oh, okay.
And conjunction 6. But some people go to 8, and other people go to 4. Now, I have found that if the moon's involved, that 8 pretty much makes sense, because the moon is close to the earth, and it's got a pretty wild influence. So I find it's pretty safe to have a 6-degree orb.
Okay, well, I found this very interesting gal. I was hoping you could...
Okay, what is her birthday?
September 19th, 69.
Okay, yours June 27th. And you were shown a lot of relationship activities because you had all these grand trines on your Venus from the Sag-Aries transit.
Good time.
You're having a Venus trine Venus now, so your sex life could be happening. What is her birthday?
September 19th, 69.
September 19th, 69. We need some fire in her chart to help you with your Leo rising and your Leo Mars. And she does have Venus in Leo, almost where yours is, and Mars in Sag. So this is like a very, very positive relationship. Lots of fun. She may be a bit dominant for you, Doug. If it becomes too competitive, that might be a problem.
Well, I think I can handle it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Far.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Guy. Thank you, Bob. Let's go to Lorraine, who has another general question. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I've never felt better.
You got some Dharma, huh?
No, actually, I wanted to ask you a question. I just started listening to your show recently.
Yeah?
And I think it's very interesting. But I just wanted to pass along, actually, I don't want to pass along anything. I wanted to ask you about karma, because I don't really have a good grip on exactly how it works. And I'm trying to figure out how it is. I'm in show business and stand-up comic, which is devastating. Because we're like, they say we're the most unhappy people in the world. How does that work? But I'm trying to figure out how, in my business for 10 years, I've seen people who seemingly have like negative energy and negative karma, and yet they seem to get everything. You know what I'm saying? The rewards, the success. And I'm trying to figure out how does that work with bad karma?
You can't tell a book by its cover.
Huh?
And in these people that become a success with victims and survivors in their wake,
mm-hmm.
it appears that they're at the top of their game. I mean, I hate to use this example, like John Lennon, because I love John Lennon very much. But the truth of the matter is that John Lennon might have been an assassin in a past life,
uh-huh.
and towards the end of his life, he lost a grip on a lot of his spirituality, from what I heard.
I see.
And he was in a position where he could have really done a lot of good for a lot of people. I hate to say that a person could blow their karma and get assassinated, but sometimes you take, before John Lennon's death, you might have taken a look at that guy and say, boy, look at this guy. He's got $40-50 million and he's got a beautiful Manhattan condo and all this stuff. And then boom, the next day he's dead.
Yeah.
I never want to be anybody else for that reason.
Right.
Because it is true. A lot of people do climb the ladder of success, and people in show business, as you know, in movies and in films, on the radio, TV, they come across all the hidey-ho and a guy like Elvis Presley. Here's a guy who was mean and cruel behind the scenes, but millions of people still love him anyway. It cut short his life, and he destroyed himself 10-15 years before he died. He wasn't happy.
Yeah, I know. It's so devastating that these people seemingly get it all in this life, and then you wonder, well, they're going to pay for it later. But
sometimes being a success
mm-hmm.
is the obsession karma where the big payoff is made, where the big hurt comes down.
I see.
And there's no way you can escape it, because it's all motive and it's all attitude, and it all has to do with retaining a spiritual nature, spiritual priorities, and saying to yourself, whatever God wants me to have, I'll have, but I'm not going to kill myself if I don't have it.
I see. Well, that's a good place for my energy. It's just such a competitive business. It's hard to see people getting ahead of you and knowing that their karma is so bad. I mean, we're talking about people who get up and anti-Semitic and, you know, really devastating things that the world doesn't need to hear about and doesn't need to have shoved down their throat.
You see, you cannot escape the karmic retribution. There's no way. You can't run from it. You don't get away with anything. The higher mind, your own higher self, records it all and sets you up to pay it off if you don't.
Well, that's kind of, I'm glad to hear you say that, and it's nice to know that, because if I live as a failure, I'll die as a success.
Well, you see, now in one way, you might be a failure in your own eyes because Lorraine Moore is not world famous. But on a spiritual plane, you are universally famous because of your good heart. See, so 20th century Earth might not know who you are, but millions of spirit guides do, and they love you for it.
Oh, well, that's nice, Farley. I appreciate that.
Okay, hon.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. God, that was a wonderful comment from Lorraine Moore, stand-up comic, and I think she's going to be famous anyway, so what the heck. Now, Deborah is a Sag with Taurus rising. Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Listen, I was wondering what my moon is in Aquarius and my midheaven is in Aquarius, and I was wondering if that was because I put 1 o'clock exactly that I was born in the afternoon, or
No, you know, whatever time you give us is the time we use to calculate the charts, and that 1 o'clock time you gave us for December 13th, 58, in the year you gave us, would have calculated your moon to be in Aquarius. Is it to the left of the midheaven or the right of the midheaven?
My moon is left.
Oh, so it's in the 10th house then?
My moon's in the 10th house, right.
Okay, are you also emotionally obsessed with career?
I have been. I like your show today about obsessions.
You're like an early Taurus rising, like 0, 1, or 2, something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could tell. Yeah, so, yeah, weren't you sure your birth time?
No, I called Alaska. I went through all this big stuff, hit it, and apparently it's gone.
Uh-huh. Well, if your moon would be in the 9th house, Deborah, you would be a big clown. You'd be a total clown, a big traveler, very independent lady. Moon in the 10th house is you feel good when your career's going fine.
Huh. And what, my midheaven's in Aquarius also.
Right.
My moon's in Aquarius. Does that mean?
The Taurus rising people like to hug everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Are you like that?
Uh-huh.
You see people and you go like, aw, give me a hug, you know. You're probably Taurus rising then.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, thanks, Farley. Have a nice day.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go over here to Christine on line 4 and Aquarius. Hi.
Hi.
No school today, huh?
Well, I'm all sick, so.
What are you, a senior, a junior, or what?
Sophomore.
Sophomore? What school do you go to?
I go to Long Beach Polytechnic High School.
So you call the, you listen to the astrology hour when you're sick?
Yeah.
Isn't that special? Now, isn't that special?
In a way, I guess. But anyways, I was calling. I'm kind of ignorant on the subject of astrology and everything.
Well, thank you for being honest with us about. Listen, I wish I was into it at 16 years old.
But I'm also really religious, and I was wondering if you could tell me if or how astrology relates to or contradict Christianity.
Well, in a way, it's kind of intertwined because all the apostles were each a separate astrology sign. Christ was into astrology, and he intentionally chose one of each sign, Aries through Pisces. Another funny thing about Jesus is that the three kings that were led to his birth were astrologer kings, and they used the astrological aspect, which I believe was a Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn conjunction in the east during sunset every day that led them to Bethlehem from their western homes. They followed the aspect to Bethlehem, and that's where they found Christ. They knew that grand conjunction back at that time would alert them to the birth of a messianic being.
Huh.
Does that help you any?
Yeah.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Uh-huh, I guess.
Have a nice day.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to line 5 and talk to Martha. Hi.
Oh, Farley, Farley. I thought I never got the end.
Farley, 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 Farley. Martha, you're going berserk.
Oh, my God, yes. Farley, I have big day tomorrow. I have a test.
Were you? Are you Russian?
No.
Where are you from?
Russian. I speak 5 languages.
Petitsa. So where are you from?
Czechoslovakia.
All right. I like Czechs.
Good. Farley, please. My test is tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Okay, now listen. No problem. Don't worry about it. You're having a Venus trine, Venus Pluto, and you're showing lots of luck and lots of power. Stop worrying about it and go in there with confidence and knock them dead.
Oh, good. I'm studying all week.
I gotta go. Thank you for calling. Bye bye. Mark, you're having a good time. Okay, that's it. And we'll see you real soon. How about weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, weekdays at 12 noon. Bye, everybody.